The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
So what is spirituality? Is it a gift? Is it a special thing that only some people have? Is it a talent? Is it a state of being, or maybe a destination? Perhaps spirituality is something we achieve, or maybe earn, or find. Maybe we find spirituality when we look hard enough way deep down inside of ourselves. Many non-Christians, or perhaps nominal Christians these days, think of themselves as spiritual. You may have heard some people say, well, I'm not particularly religious, but I am spiritual. And we're not really sure what that means, but you hear it a lot, don't you? Perhaps part of what they mean by that is that they're tuned into nature, or they try to be kind, or engage in peaceful thoughts, or some sort of meditation, maybe some sort of meditative practices. And by that, they think of themselves as spiritual. But what about you? Are you spiritual? Christians have probably as many diverse opinions about spirituality as do those who don't profess Christ. If you were to stop 10 Christians on the street and say, hey, are you spiritual? You might get a lot of different answers. And some of them might be akin to that thing I said a minute ago, where you say, hey, well, I'm not really religious, but I am spiritual. Sometimes Christians think of spirituality in terms of how regularly they pray, or if they read the Bible often enough. Now, those activities are part of a spiritual life, and there's no doubt that they are the hallmarks of a mature disciple of Christ. And all serious followers of Jesus should cultivate those things. But listen, in some ways, they have not a lot to do with how or whether or why we are spiritual. Why? Because true Christian spirituality is not inward focused. It's not located in self. It's not down and in at all. And that's what I meant when I said a minute ago that in some ways the hallmarks of a disciple of Christ, like prayer and Bible reading, have not a lot to do with our spirituality. That's because true Christian spirituality, the ancient way of thinking about spirituality, is upward focused and entirely located in Christ. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, please listen to that carefully. Jesus himself is our spirituality. All by himself, in and of himself. And he did this in semet epso. That's the Latin phrase, by his own self in person. You can find that little phrase, at least the Latin translation of the original Greek, in Colossians 2, which I think of in some ways as at least a partial blueprint for ancient future faith. That rich passage that we're going to look at talks of our communion together with and in the Trinity. It talks about the grandeur of God's big story and our being invited to be a part of it. It talks about walking out our baptisms. And it also speaks to what spirituality is all about and where spirituality is located. I want you to think about that phrase. Where is spirituality located? Especially as I read to you from Colossians 2. Jump down, if you would please, in Colossians 2 to verse number 6. And as I read, I want you to think about this business of who or where or what is our spirituality, and see if you see some of these aspects of ancient future faith that I was talking about. Verse number 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You might want to circle the word in. Rooted and built up, what? In him. Strengthened where? In the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. In other words, you received Christ as Lord, right? So live in him. Well, how do we do that? Verse number 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Hey, I'm not really religious, says the world, but I am spiritual, and here's what that looks like. I like to be spiritual by contemplating nature. Actually, there's an element of truth to that. You're going to see that in just a moment. But like the rest of our upside-down world, that particular person is not entirely tuned in completely to the right channel. Verse number 9, for where? In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness, where? You have been given it. You have been given fullness in Christ. One of the church fathers says this fullness is said of the whole creation restored by him. Wow, somehow all of that, the fullness of the deity resides in Christ, and we have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You see that phrase often in Scripture, and that also ties into the ancient future principle of this notion of what Christ did for us on the cross. The modern way of thinking about the atonement is that Jesus died for me, and me alone. If I were the only person left in the world, he would have died for me. Yes, that is true. Thanks be to God. However, it's not the whole story. It's not a big enough picture. Because Jesus not only died for you, he died for me too. And he died for not only me and you, but to rewrite the whole of the created order. And as if that were not enough, he also died, looking here at verse number 10, to become head over every power and authority. There are powers and principalities, and Jesus Christ has crushed them under his feet. And he is head over all creation. Verse number 11 starts with the word, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Wow. This circumcision was done for us by and in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And there's the business about walking out your baptism, right there. It says you were buried with him in what? Yep, and raised with him through your faith, by and of yourself and in your faith? No, through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it all away, say this with me, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah! And having disarmed, there they are again, the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. And you better believe they're still mad about that. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by, or other translations say, in the cross. When you take a look at the original language there, the Latin translation says, in semet ipso. That's the phrase I mentioned a minute ago that means by his own self in person. Where is your spirituality located? In Christ. Because of what? Yes, because of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and future coming again of Jesus Christ. Your spirituality is located in Christ, by his own self, in person. Wow. By the way, I mentioned to you earlier about comprehending nature or the creation. There's a church father whose name is Athanasius who wrote this about this passage. For if through the Son creation has come to be, and in him all things consist or hold together. It must follow then that he who contemplates the creation rightly is contemplating also the Word who formed it, and through him begins to apprehend the Father. Do you want to apprehend the Father? Then contemplate the creation rightly, which has been created in and through Jesus Christ in semet ipso, I-N-S-E-M-E-T, ipso, in semet ipso, by his own self in person. I'd love for you to mark that whole passage where we've been reading as kind of a blueprint for ancient future faith. So many of the elements right there contained in that passage. So the heart of biblical and ancient Christian spirituality is our union with God, accomplished by Jesus through the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The heart of biblical and ancient Christian spirituality is our union with God, accomplished by Jesus through the Spirit. It's not inward and downward, it's upward and Christ-centered, because our spirituality is based in Christ and our union with God through Him. Simply put, Christian spirituality is God's passionate embrace of us and our passionate embrace of Him. That is your spirituality. I'm going to say that one again too. Simply put, Christian spirituality is God's passionate embrace of us and our passionate embrace of Him. So, what is the source of our spirituality? It is God who makes us spiritual, not ourselves. And that right there is the key of the whole matter. Are you yourself spiritual? No. No, you're not. Because no matter how hard you try to keep up with that thing we were talking about earlier where you're going to put the phone aside and you're going to get to those daily devotionals first thing, you're going to fail. Because we're fallen and flawed and human. But it is God who makes us spiritual, not ourselves. God's embrace is the passionate outworking of His vision to reunite us to Himself and redirect our lives to fulfill His original purposes for us and the world. God has a plan. God has a big story. And rather than thinking about your spirituality as a way for you to invite God into your little slice of life, you think rather about being spiritual because God made you that way. And the reason He did that is because He is working out His vision to reunite us to Himself and to redirect our lives to fulfill His original purposes for us and for the world. God is at work in the world, and He's doing that through the visible character of the church, which we talked about in one of the other points of the call. God is rewriting the whole of the created order. God is working on a plan through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who became God incarnate in order to recapitulate the story and to present it back to God as an offering. And we get the privilege of working alongside Him in doing that. Now, the section of the call that talks about spirituality is an insert in your order of service. Can you get that out? And let's just see, in light of what we have read in Colossians, what the writers of the call are calling evangelical Christians back to when it comes to an ancient and biblical understanding of spirituality. If there is a word that you do not know while I'm reading this, throw up a hand right when the word comes along, and then we will go back and define it, okay? Here we go. On spiritual formation in the church as embodiment of God's narrative. We're talking about God's story, big story. And that story is creation, incarnation, recreation. All right. We call for a catechetical spiritual formation. Okay, several of you catechetical. We'll come back to that in just a second. We call for a catechetical spiritual formation of the people of God that is firmly based on a Trinitarian biblical narrative. Somebody, what does catechesis or catechetical mean? It means teaching or biblical principles. In the church, when you have catechesis. That's where you set forth questions and answers on biblical doctrine. And catechesis is a really fancy theological term for spiritual training or discipleship or training in doctrine. Okay? So we call for a catechetical spiritual formation. In other words, we call for a spiritual formation in the church where we've got discipleship and we've got teaching and we're talking about biblical doctrines that's based firmly on a Trinitarian biblical narrative. Now that may seem like a no-brainer, but you and I both know that there's lots of training in the church these days in various far-flung places that is not based on a Trinitarian biblical model. It's not. It might, for example, emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit over that of the Son. Or it might emphasize God the Father to the exclusion, say, of the Spirit. And sometimes these discipleship trainings or these catechetical experiences leave out entirely God's big story, or just take a look at a tiny slice of it. For example, instead of focusing on creation, incarnation, recreation, the whole sweep of salvation history, sometimes people get focused, say, on eschatological things. Exactly when is Jesus coming back? And it's going to be next Tuesday at 3:00. Or say they get all worked up about some other aspect or small slice of the story. What the call is saying is when we're talking about forming our spirituality, we really need to get back to God's big story and to a biblical model that is thoroughly Trinitarian. Okay, next sentence. We are concerned when spirituality is separated from the story of God and baptism into the life of Christ and His body. Yeah, we should be concerned about that because we're supposed to remember our baptisms. And according to Colossians, the baptized life is a spiritual life. When we daily remember that we are to die to self, and by the way, our contemporary society is not so interested in hearing about that, and rising up to new life, not on our own, but in the strength and power of Christ. Then they describe what that looks like. Spirituality, made independent from God's story, is often characterized by legalism, mere intellectual knowledge, an overly therapeutic culture. Yeah? There's lots of Christians out there these days whose spirituality is bound up over how they feel. Or what does God want, your best life now, or some such thing? Do you see how that is separated from the rest of the church and from biblical and historical spirituality? New Age Gnosticism, we've talked about that, a dualistic rejection of this world. Remember, there are some strains of Christianity that says this world is awful and gross and I can't wait to get out of it. And someday soon, because my ticket's punched and my bag is packed, I'm out of here and the rest of you all, I'm just going to watch you as I get swept away. And a narcissistic preoccupation with one's own experience. Beloved, we are living in a world of narcissistic preoccupation with one's own experience. And much damage can be done in the life of the Christian and in the life of the church when we actually begin to base our spirituality or our discipleship formation on things that reflect self and try to build up self and make me feel good about me. These false spiritualities are inadequate for the challenges we face in today's world. Amen. Therefore, we call evangelicals to return to a historic spirituality like that which was taught and practiced in the ancient catechumenate. There's that word catechesis again. And all that they're saying there in that word catechumenate is the way that the members were catechized, they were discipled and trained. And part of the way they were trained is learning about where your spirituality is located, learning those rules of the faith. We believe in one God, the Father of all, maker of heaven and earth, etc. And they were taught these rules of the faith and these basic Christian principles, and that their spirituality is located in Christ along the way as they were brought into the life of the church. There are 4 points about an ancient future spirituality that I want you to think about, and you might want to jot these down, or at least a little bit of it. And if you don't get all of it, you can come back later and listen to the podcast, but there are 4 points that I want to give you before I close. 4 characteristics of ancient future spirituality that I want us to really get at Epiclesis. Kind of a summation of what we've talked about this morning. We do not look within and to our own experience to find spirituality. Spirituality is not located in me. Spirituality, rather, is situated in God's big story of the world. That is to say, God creating, then becoming incarnate to reconcile the world to himself. God united in humanity so that we might be united to God. Oh, let that one sink in. Wow. God united to humanity so that we might be united with God. And that doesn't happen inside your own self or your own mind or downward and inward. It happens in Christ. And then one day, ultimately, Jesus is recreating the world and returning it to the Father. That's the big story. And your spirituality is located in that story. And it is that story which shapes and gives meaning to the world around us. Point number 2. Baptism, which we read about in Colossians, baptism into union with Jesus is the sign of our new spiritual identity with the triune God and with each other in the church. Let me say that again, because that's packed full of meaning. Baptism into union with Jesus is the sign of our new spiritual identity with the triune God and with each other in the church. Baptism is key, and baptism is a sign of your spirituality. And it is also a daily working out of your baptism and walking out of your baptism, as daily you die to self. Die to self every day. Do you get how countercultural that is? And rising to new life in Christ. And notice that it also says that it not only is a sign of our spiritual identity with the triune God, but also with each other in the church. So there is another important aspect to ancient Christian biblical spirituality. We are united with one another in the church. And your spirituality is also somehow caught up in the body of Christ, which is the church. It's going to be super hard for you to be spiritual in a Christian sense if you neglect the body of Christ. The spiritual life is living into our baptisms. What does that mean? Dying to all that is sin and death and rising through new birth into life, modeled by Jesus, the one who images humanity completely united to God's original purposes for creation. I heard Bob Weber get mad on a couple of occasions. And one of them was when he was railing against a particular worship song. Let's see if I can remember what it was. Remember last week I said that it's important what we put into worship because worship shapes the way we believe? You came from heaven to earth. Wrong. Jesus didn't come to earth to show the way. Jesus came to earth because he is the way. It's terribly important what we put into worship. And Jesus Christ modeled perfectly. He imaged perfectly humanity as united to God in his original purposes for creation. Here's point number 3. The spiritual life is disciplined by the rule of steadfastness, faithfulness, and obedience. The spiritual life is disciplined by the rule of steadfastness, faithfulness, and obedience. It attends to prayer, study, and work. And listen, it meets God in daily life and in material things and in people. You see, sometimes we get the idea that spirituality is separating ourselves from the world or coming to think, as some Christians do, that the world is really not very good and I'm just sort of passing through because I'm on my way to glory. But Christian, biblical, historic, ancient spirituality says that we're going to attend to things like daily prayer, and we're going to attend to Bible reading, and we're going to be faithful in our study, but also our work, and we will meet God in daily life, which includes material things. Because it's Gnostic to think about material being evil and spiritual being good, and so therefore we must be separated from it. That is a Gnostic belief. God made material. He must like it. And we will see God in people around us. That's part of what it means to have a spiritual life. Jennifer said earlier that God is calling her to push that phone aside and to attend to some daily Bible reading and study and prayer. Those are the marks of a disciplined spiritual life. And now point number four. The spiritual life is nourished, how? Well, partially by the church, which is the continued presence of the incarnate Jesus in the world. We said a couple of weeks ago that the church is the visible body and character of Christ in the world. And if we're going to be serious about being disciples of Christ, then we need to call evangelicals back to a visible church. Part of the spiritual life means that we will be nourished by the church, because the church is the continued presence of the incarnate Jesus in the world. And then this phrase that you've heard us say before, the spiritual life is nourished by worship that sings, prays, preaches, and enacts the story of God and our life in Him in its daily prayer, weekly worship, and yearly attention to the Christian year. There are a lot of hallmarks to a spiritual life, but we must remember that our spirituality is not located in self, but in the person and work of Jesus Christ, in simit ipso, by His own self and in person. For you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, but God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them in the cross. There's your spirituality. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give You thanks and praise that You are our spirituality. And I pray, Lord, that in our training, in our discipleship, in our small groups, in our daily attention to work and prayer and Bible study and reading and work and walking out our baptisms, Lord, we will remember that our story really is all about living in Your big story. That our spirituality is located in You and Your purposes for the world. And Lord, I pray that You would help turn us away from this narcissistic culture that we live in, and that we will turn away from a life that is independent of Your story, and that we will turn away from a life of legalism or pursuit only of intellectual knowledge in You, that we will turn away from a dualistic rejection of this world. Lord, these are false spiritualities. And Lord, in this weird upside-down world we're living in, they are inadequate. They are inadequate to equip us to face what lies before us. So let us be caught up in You, in whom we live and move and have our being and our spirituality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.